Chapter 16, Crafting a Compelling Resume and Cover Letter. The challenge of life is to build a resume that simply does not tell a story about what you want to be, but a story about who you want to be. When I say who, I would probably consider the word who as someone who is focused on the traits and characteristics. Someone who has those kind of qualities which will make the person be more dedicated and committed towards achievement of goals. Someone who knows that his or her thought process is aligned with what is the expectation of the organization. So this quote is rightly said by Oprah Winfrey. Because what you want to be is one aspect, but who you really want to be is important. When I say who I really want to be, I first need to focus on those traits and characteristics. If you want to be the general manager of your organization, you first need to focus on characteristics such as punctuality. You need to focus on characteristics such as getting work done, delegating tasks, achievements, being successful. So I have to imbibe these traits and qualities to progress. When I say a compelling resume, a resume which can be very convincing, we will discuss as we go further. Your resume is a reflection of who you are. Make sure it is a good one. Who you are, your skills, qualifications, achievements, work experience, all this will define to a great extent what kind of a personality are you, what has been your contribution at work so far, what kind of an individual are you if you've constantly succeeded, if you've been consistent, no job hopping, no employment gaps, all this will speak volumes about you. The following concepts will be covered in this topic: the meaning of resume, the different sections of a resume, steps involved in writing a resume, what is a cover letter, the various types of cover letter, and steps involved in writing a cover letter. Meaning of resume. A resume is a written document and is an essential tool, and it serves as a reflection of your skills, qualifications, and experiences. So, a resume is a document that is used and created by the individual, by the candidate, expressing the skills and achievements, qualifications, and various other aspects. Any resume that is unique, any resume that is going to serve the purpose for the organization, that means the way you have demonstrated your skills, the way you have demonstrated your achievements, somewhere it looks very specific to what the organization is also looking for. Now, the resume should not be more than 2 pages, not more. When I talk the resume, information or the sentences, if at all put forward. So when I talk of sentences, when I talk of professional summary, I'm using the word professional summary, but it'll be like a paragraph. So the sentences there should neither be lengthy nor complicated. But somewhere it should show that you are really capable of a lot. It also should show your capabilities, your achievements of the past. That's what you can put forward there. But you've got to be very careful when you word it, because that professional summary of yours will be one of the defining factors for them to understand what exactly you are all about. Of course, then your work experience, educational qualifications, all those aspects are looked into, definitely. But that overall, what is expressed in a manner which seems very tailor-fit to the organization you have applied for, then it will serve the purpose. So it is a written document and is an essential tool. And it serves as a reflection of your skills, qualifications, and experiences. In today's competitive world, an effective resume should be unique, appealing, and convincing. How do I make my resume unique? I should make it very different from what others put forward. I should see to it that the information that I've put forward on the resume, it's worded in a unique manner. And all of this is possible. Convincing. It has to be convincing. When I say convincing, you are able to influence the mindset, thought process, and attitude of the person. You somewhere know what exactly will play an important role when you send your resume to the concerned organization. So a simple example, someone in the field of marketing. So don't you say you are looking for qualities such as the individual should be dynamic, the individual should have that ability to influence the mindset, that individual should have the ability to convince. When can you convince others? When you yourself are convinced. Only then can you convince others. So, in some way or the other, it is important that you learn the art of putting forward a very exceptional resume. And this cannot happen within 1 or 2 days. This is time consuming. You need to spend a lot of time. And I feel nothing wrong if you spend time on this, because the more professional you make it, the more appealing you make it, the better will be your job prospects. See, once you get it at a level where you feel, okay, now my resume seems apt, 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 perfect, then I have to keep updating it as per the job I've applied for. Right? I make a few changes as and when required. But before that, I need to see to it that it is something that is worded very appropriately, no grammatical mistakes, sentences which ideally make a lot of meaning to the concerned person, whoever be the concerned person. But every sentence, every word is something that is really making the resume seem very presentable. A well-written resume provides a comprehensive view of an individual's background. A resume must be written clearly and in a concise manner. That is why we said not more than 2 pages. An employer will analyze a resume and assess the candidate's suitability for the job by assessing the skills and experiences. So, what is important when I talk of any resume? Somewhere your resume is seen probably before you have met anybody. For example, if it's an online application, right? Or what happens is that in case you've sent your resume via email, but what is important is you made a video introduction. You know, it's like few minutes. So that video introduction of yours is also very, you know, convincing and influencing. It kind of has an impact on the person. Then they have seen you. But otherwise, if you've just sent an online application, you've sent it via email, then they have not really met you per se. Right? So in that case, all the more you need to understand that only if the resume has enough of information, only if the resume has what is expected of a candidate, only then can I get there in terms of being present for an interview. So, when I say assess the candidate's suitability for the job, What about your experiences? What about your skills? Are they matching with what my organization is really looking for? If your skills and experiences are useful, but it is not the requirement of my organization, then it is not going to serve the purpose. Different sections of a resume. So your first name and last name, this is when you start the resume. First name and last name. Then comes your address. Then your contact details. When I talk of contact details and when I talk of contact details and your email address, LinkedIn profile, and website. So LinkedIn profile is a page that you put forward, okay, where you talk of your career history, your educational background, okay, and also when you would like to put forward information related to your experiences. So this is more useful for employers and recruiters, right? So all these are aspects which are required. The first name, the last name, address, phone number, email address, LinkedIn profile, and website. If you have your own website, then, right? Professional summary. That is the second section of a resume. Professional summary. It will include significant accomplishments. So when I talk of summary, it is concise. It could be ideally a paragraph. Okay, when I talk of summary, something exceptional about you in relation to your field or your career. Also, they are mentioning out here, it'll explain why you are qualified for the job. Definitely, when I put forward in the summary, okay, something unique. So, for example, I'm teaching since 16 years, so I put forward teaching experience of 16 years, have taught varied subjects. In these last 16 years, I've taught more than 18 subjects. Teaching, according to me, makes me feel I'm responsible to shape the thought process of every single student. So somewhere I am talking of course, my years of experiences, what I've taught in terms of that means how many subjects rather, but also what is important when it comes to teaching. I am definitely responsible for shaping your perceptions, thought process, views, right? Somewhere when we teach, that is what we do. Somewhere when we teach, we are putting forward knowledge and information. So you have to explain what is so exceptional about you that you're qualified for this job. Professional summary may be similar to objective, but it is not objective. Professional summary and objective are different. Right? Objective is more about career goals, while professional summary includes accomplishments and qualifications. Well, frankly, when you write professional summary, it could include a lot about your accomplishments. And as we go further with your resume, anyways, qualifications is discussed. This is what I personally feel. So we put it in that manner. Third is education. The education section is an essential part of your resume. Will it make a difference in terms of what you have pursued as far as education is concerned? Will it impact your resume? I personally feel yes. One way of being, sorry, one way of having a resume which will create an impact is to discuss your educational qualifications. Why? Because any organization who is looking for a candidate will definitely look into the educational qualification because that is also a requirement. And as we asked you, that can your educational qualification have an impact? Definitely, because when organizations are looking for candidates, they will want people who have specialized, for example, someone in the field of marketing, someone in the field of finance, so that individual has done that specialization. So education is definitely an add-on. What is the purpose of education per se? What I have learned, I imbibe and put it forward at my workplace. What I have learned, how well am I able to express that at my workplace? That is important. So when I talk of education, you start with the highest degree earned, right? And it includes a list of your majors, minors, and certificate courses. So you could include all what you've really done in terms of education, because that will reflect on you as an individual. And what is very important, when you talk of educational qualifications, even if you've done some certification, some training, course where it's helped you upgrade yourself in terms of knowledge and information, you can put it there, right? Of course, you can put it in a manner whereby first you talk of the highest degree earned and then you go, you know, and it has to be in a traditional format where I talk of reverse chronological order, what you've studied last, right? So currently you're pursuing this course. So this is what comes right at the start in terms of educational qualification, correct? It is very important to highlight your academic qualifications on your resume in such a manner so that you can prove yourself to be a better candidate than others. See, what stays with us forever are educational qualifications. Many things can come and go, but your education stays with you forever. So as far as possible, it is important to highlight what you have done, be it at any point of time in life. It is not necessary that you have to have that specific age to study. You can study at any point of time in life. But what will be important is that it'll help the interviewer or whoever is going through your resume to understand that you are academically inclined. When I say academically inclined, it means you are having that ability and approach to pursue academics. You are a keen learner. You personally feel that academics will help you progress in your career and will help you progress further in life on a lot of fronts. Right? Then I talk of skills. Hard skills such as technical skills and soft skills are interpersonal skills. So when you talk of skills, let's be frank, the skills could be something as simple as problem solving skills, team building skills, skills that are related to your field or to your specific, line of interest. Soft skills, how you communicate with one and all, how you're able to relate to one and all, how assertive or aggressive are you as and when required, the ability to, bind people together through your interpersonal skills, the ability to get work done. So a lot of aspects are looked into. Make sure the skills listed on the resume align with what the employer is looking for. So if you're absolutely in the opposite direction, then whatever the employer is looking for will not make sense. So make sure you are moving in that direction. That is important. So one should review the job description to identify important keywords that can make an impact. So job description, it is a written document which states the roles, responsibilities in terms of experiences, skills, qualifications that are needed by an organization, right? So what exactly is required of you? What is the role that you will play? If you are talking of someone who's a customer relationship manager, How will you deal with the consumers? How will you handle the queries put forward by the consumers? Are you able to have a rapport with the consumers? So, when you talk of job description, review the job description that is put forward by the organization. Then I talk of work experience. Make a list of your past employers, job titles, roles and responsibility. So, where have you worked? What was your designation? What were your responsibilities? Say, if you have 18 years work experience, the work that you did right at the start in the first 2 years, if you feel that, okay, you can word it better because that was 18 years back, or the work that you did about 10 years back, is it necessary to mention it or you feel it's okay, but then it should not show as employment gap. So it's all about how you express the work you've done. So your past employers, job titles, roles and responsibilities, very important. Now, all throughout, what about achievements? Achievements could be on any front. Achievements can be quantifiable. When I say could be on any front, you have helped the organization to gain profits. You have developed ways and means and strategies to increase sales. So, you have really put an effort to deal with the competition. You have really put an effort to ideally handle competition effectively. So these are the various important points that you have to put forward when you talk of past work experience. Furthermore, any resume format has to be in reverse chronological order, starting with the most recent degree, and then list others in reverse chronological order. Definitely, reverse chronological order is the format that is followed. And we talk of reverse chronological order, it's because what I am doing currently, what I've just finished, and that is finished a few months back in terms of academics, then that has to be put forward at the start. So, reverse chronological order. Now we talk of steps involved in writing a resume. The first step is to compile the information. When I talk of compiling the information, I first gather all the information that is here on my mind. I'll gather all the information which I know I have to put forward on my CV. So for example, if you've done job hopping, then too, it'll show up on your CV. If you've had gaps, that too will show up on your CV. But at the same time, wherever you've worked, you've achieved, that will be demonstrated through your skills. So I compile, I gather information, I synthesize it. So I compile, gather, collect, synthesize. To accurately express information related to your work experience, skills, education and expertise, that will impress others. When I say accurately express information, means I am doing everything to see to it that I leave no stone unturned to express that is required. When I say I leave no stone unturned to express that is required, that means I'm putting on all the effort to be able to convey and convey my expertise. See, the expertise you have, a lot of people will have. But how are you making yourself unique? How are you sounding unique through that expertise? That is up to you. So it's fine if you have that expertise, nothing unique. Don't assume yourself to be unique. But assume that the way you put it on your CV or resume, that will make it sound unique. And that's why speaking is a skill and so is writing a skill. Because I'm able to express information in that specific manner. See, we've discussed before, your resume needs to be very specific as per the requirements of the organization. We've also mentioned that you need to really tailor fit your job description. You need to tailor fit your skills and requirements as per the organization. So, your expertise has to be expressed well. Education. List the relevant degrees and certifications that can make you qualified for the job in a reverse chronological order. So when I say relevant degree and certifications, it also means that you word it appropriately. For example, if I talk of project management professional. So if I say PMP, it is better I write project management professional so that I am wording it in a manner which is clearly understood by you. What also needs to be looked into is that every certification of mine is mentioned for your reference, because that will be an add-on and helpful to me eventually. Then I talk of references. Resume references are people who you know can recommend you and can vouch for you. When I talk of resume references, now references are people who you know can recommend you. The very fact that someone is recommending you, it also means that you have the skills, qualifications and abilities to be recommended, and at the same time the person who is recommending you also has a particular designation which speaks a lot about them. It is important that you have references. When someone can vouch for you, what more can you really want? Because if someone is willing to recommend you, the very fact that they're willing to let you, you know, put forward their names when you go for an interview, they can give you a recommendation, that will really make a difference to you in terms of your progress and growth. So potential employers can call the references to verify your performance and ask questions related to your knowledge and skills. When I say potential employers can call the references, so towards the end of the interview process, the potential employers, that means where there are chances of you being hired, they will verify your performance. They will verify your performance, that they will ask you questions related to your knowledge and skills. And when we say they will verify your performance or performances, that means they can call up the people who've recommended you to get an idea of what kind of an employee have you been. That is why it is very, very important that wherever you work, do not get into arguments, clashes, disputes, conflicts. Wherever you work, put an effort to maintain a rapport and see to it that you avoid and move away from fights and arguments. Yes, arguments at a minimal level or at a basic level can happen. But if the arguments are getting out of control, then you have to manage your mind and be at ease. You do not really have to behave in a manner which will reflect poorly on you. Right? Reference details are mentioned on a separate sheet. Definitely, it is not on the same as a resume. Resume is 2 pages. References are on a separate sheet. Because when you talk of the reference, that means who is the person, the name, the designation, the contact details, where is the organization, right? All these aspects are looked into. Generally, a hiring manager can contact your references during the final stage of the hiring process. So as I said, this is nearly towards the end of the interview. Your references will reaffirm the positive attributes that you as a candidate have expressed during the interview process and whether it is genuine or not. Now, your references will reaffirm the positive attributes. That means whatever you have mentioned during the interview, that can be reconfirmed. Now, please understand, if that is going to be reconfirmed, it is very important that you neither exaggerate, nor mislead, nor give incorrect information. Don't try to sound as if you know it all and you're the best candidate when you ideally may not be that. So be very careful with what you have expressed. And when I say be careful with what you've expressed, a golden rule, do not lie. That's a golden rule, do not lie. You know, if you lie and if you're caught, then it'll reflect so poorly on you. You will no longer seem to be a candidate worthy of being hired. And what are you doing? You're spoiling your own chances and prospects of being hired. Then you are losing out. So be very careful. See, what is important that when I talk of any resume, when I talk of references, let facts be there. Do not write something where you feel, it's okay, I've just written it here, it's okay. Not at all. Not at all. Because you are completely going against things which you are not meant to be doing. So be careful. Steps involved in writing a resume, we continue with that. Work experience or work history will include the name of the organization, designation, the date you started and left. So how long have you been there? Now this can lead to one more aspect. The date you started and left. That means if there are far too many employment gaps, you will be questioned as to why are you having so many gaps? Why did you not work? Or what did you do from 2021 to 2022? Say that gap is there on your resume. Now you've got to be very careful while you answer these kind of questions. Because when you have gaps on your resume and if your reasons are not justifiable, it may also seem that you don't have that level of commitment and dedication. It may also seem that you have not been consistent with work. And what is important while you're working? That consistency. If consistency is not there, it will not serve the purpose. Job description includes your past work experience, paid, voluntary, and internship. And it also includes your key skills and accomplishments. A sequential resume will actually have the most recent job stated first. So either we call it sequential format or a sequential resume. Basically, the most recent job will come first. And then thereafter, the previous job positions that you have held. Now, the next suitable format for writing a resume is the functional resume. As the word suggests, functional. It is about the functions. Functions means, what do I mean by functions? Your skills that you possess. What do I mean by functions? Ideally, what is it that is unique in you in terms of the skills that you possess? So my skills will be the ability to teach. Versus my work history, which has been since how many years, what have I done? So ability to teach, that means ability to reach out to each and every student in a manner whereby whatever I teach is easy to understand. Whatever I teach, the candidate can grasp it. Whatever I teach, the student can relate to it. Right? That's what it is. This format is useful when there are gaps in your work history. You know why? Because the focus is so much on the skills that you possess. And nothing wrong because you're explaining your skills. So nothing wrong with it. But the idea is that how are you explaining your skills? So the interviewer might feel that, my gosh, he or she has skills which we're actually looking for. But then what happens is when your gap or gap history is observed, then maybe can be, you know, a problem in the sense then the decision making may kind of deviate. But that depends because if the focus is so much on skills, than the work history, than the employment gaps, then definitely skills are given priority. And it depends how or what one really feels from the interviewer's point of view. A resume header. It is a top section of a resume where essentially personal details are displayed. So if this is A4 size paper, a header, right? Your full name, your phone number, your email address, your address, that means your residential address, all of that is put forward. So all these are essential steps involved in writing a resume. Now we talk of cover letter. A cover letter is a document that you submit as part of job application, and details of your professional background have to be included. So cover letter, what is the purpose of a cover letter? Why is a cover letter required? It is supposed to impress the hiring manager and convince them that you are worthy of being interviewed. So cover letter actually states why you are a fit for that job. Cover letter immediately indicates that person's, why has that person applied for that position or designation. So you are somewhere trying to show that you're a perfect fit for the job. You are somewhere trying to show that you have all the skills and the requirements as a candidate, and which is why you have applied. And that is why they're saying it is supposed to impress the hiring manager. So what happens if your cover letter is convincing, then you can be called for an interview. It is used to demonstrate what makes you the most qualified candidate. So somewhere compared to others, you will also put forward information in a manner which will make you feel that you're worthy of being called for an interview, and you might also feel that you're worthy of being selected. It is generally a one-page document, and it is written specifically the job you are applying for. So if it is a one-page document, you need to understand it has to be very specific. When you talk of giving details in a specific manner, that means it is to the point. And this is what makes a cover letter really exceptional or unique.